The Vermont Conversation with David Goodman is brought to you by Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility and by Vermont Student Assistance Corporation, Green Mountain Power, Concept 2, Norwich Solar Technologies, The Alchemist Brewery, Let's Grow Kids, UVM Medical Center, and nearly 700 business members of Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility who believe that sustainable business practices value people, planet, and profit. Welcome back to the Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. What do you do when you want to reboot your career or you're just making a career transition and you don't know where to start or you just can't get any traction with what you're doing? Well, to talk about this, we've got two experts with us to answer our questions, your questions, and help guide us on this path. Kate Payne is the founder and president of Standing Out Online. She helps people present themselves both online and LinkedIn and similar places. And Etienne Morris is the founder and president of Morris Recruiting and Consulting. She does career coaching. Kate Payne and Etienne Morris, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Well, I want to start with this idea of personal story. How you present yourself, and you are both sort of experts in two different niches. Let me start with you, Etienne Morris. The traditional way that you present yourself is a resume. Talk about the importance of the resume and how you advise people.
Sure. So a lot of people this day and age think that a resume is not as important as it once was. But I find that that it's even more important in a lot of different ways. One of the things that you can do to differentiate your resume is through the summary at the top of the resume. It's a way for you to position yourself as an ad as sort of an ad. What's the word I'm looking for, Kate?
Like a billboard.
Like a billboard.
Ad space.
And it's your ad space. So regardless of what your position titles have been or where you've been working, you get to write down what you think, what you want people to know about you. And then everything else that they read in the resume further solidifies that impression. So the summary piece of a resume can be really the most important piece.
So when people are, you know, re-updating their resume, maybe they haven't done that in 10 years, 15 years, maybe never, what should they know that's different in 2019 than the last time they used their resume?
That's a great question. One of the things that I do with my clients is have them write down all of their job history, because I get a lot of people that are in transition, so that they might be, you know, 40 or 50 years old and they are doing a career transition either because they have to or because they want to. And many people over the years have received advice that they should only have the past 10 or 15 years on the resume and drop everything else off. And what I find when I work with my clients is that when I have them share with me all of their work experience, including, you know, high school, college, you know, right after college, even if they think it has absolutely nothing to do with what they're doing now, it identifies for me the common thread of what their interests have been through their whole life. And it starts to identify their story for me. And Kate will talk about how she uses a similar technique in her LinkedIn work that she does with her clients. And not to say that we're going to include all of that in a resume, but a lot of times it helps the person sort of reconnect with what it is that lights them up. And that can help them start to identify where they want to start looking. So that's one thing that that working on a resume can do for somebody. Another thing that a lot of people might not understand is that if you're looking for a job through your own existing network, you may already know people who you want to be connected to and you think that you don't need a resume. But the fact is, those people will very often need to help need your help to help them sell you up the food chain, so to speak. So even though some you might know, you might have a foot in the door with a particular company, you need to provide them with a resume so that they can go to the other executive leadership team or to the HR department and say, I've got this great person that I think would be a super fit here. Here's his resume, or here's her resume. And that's another way that resumes are used these days.
How long should a resume be, or how long is too long?
That's a great question. The early work that I did with resume work and with recruiting was for a boutique firm, and our main client was Deloitte Consulting. And some of the resumes that we have in management consulting, when you're a technical practitioner, could be 11, 12, 13 pages long. And if they wow. weren't, if they weren't, depending on how long you've been in a management consulting role, they wouldn't look at you. Like, they had to be that long because they were, say, project-based resumes. And if they weren't, then you didn't have the experience that Deloitte would be looking for to hire. And that could be the same for IBM or Accenture or any of the big four, six, or eight, however you want to talk about it these days. And then I've heard on the other side of it that a resume must be one page. So where I fall on this is I create a resume based on, I let the data dictate how long the resume should be. So it's the data and the circumstances. There are certain fields where lengths are important, or for instance, there might be certain jobs where they say we will only accept resumes that are two pages or less. So there are some parameters like that. But if I'm left to my own devices, then I have created resumes that are a page long or that are, you know, 5 pages long. There are also little tricks to be able to have a shorter resume and then to have what I call resume addendums, so that you can kind of cheat and have like a 2-page resume, but you might have 4 pages of addendum documentation that could go along with it, so you don't actually have to call it a resume. So that's one of my little tricks of the trade that I do with my clients. And if you are in high school or college, you really should have, particularly undergrad, you should have a 1-page resume. It's kind of weird for somebody who's, you know, 20 years old to have a 3-page resume. It's like, what? That's way too much detail or way too much information. Unless, of course, you know, they've had an amazing amount of experiences and they do have to, you know, put that down. So there are exceptions to every rule. But typically, if you're undergrad, college student, or younger, that's the only time that I really try to stick to a 1-page format.
You're listening to the Vermont Conversation, and we're talking in this half hour with two experts in career coaching and in presenting your personal story, both in resumes and online. If you want to join this conversation and talk to Kate Payne or A.T.N. Morris and have your own questions for them, you can call us at 244-1777 or toll-free 877-291-8255. Kate Payne, you're an expert on LinkedIn, and for people who are in transition and for whom maybe LinkedIn wasn't really a thing when they got their first job, talk about why it's important and what it is.
Well, LinkedIn is just as much, if not almost more important than the resume in this day and age, especially because the number of recruiters and career counselors and hiring managers are going online before they even look at the hard copy of the resume. That does not mean that the resume is dead by any means, but it does mean that it needs to complement it. So the LinkedIn piece is huge. LinkedIn was started in 2003 to help people find a job. It's evolved so much more since then that now you can put in all kinds of information that you obviously could not put on a resume, which is great because it gives that hiring manager more insight into who you are as a person and a professional beyond what you can put in a resume. So LinkedIn is hot. It's really hot right now. And it's also, you know, can be used as a really good marketing tool to position yourself as the expert you are in your industry.
What do people know, you know, when they go in as newbies to LinkedIn, set it up, answer the questions, fill in the blocks about their What should they know about taking LinkedIn, optimizing LinkedIn for their own success?
So the first thing I would say is do not do a cut and paste version of your resume. That is no longer a best practice. LinkedIn used to encourage people to do that. So taking everything from your existing resume and cutting and pasting it onto your LinkedIn profile is no longer a good practice. So your personal story can really make a difference. So you heard ATN talk about story from her side, the backstory. I talk about the personal story and how it relates to like your personal brand. So your personal brand is essentially your reputation, your integrity, your values, and the subject matter expertise you have in your niche and your skill sets. So the personal story can be a little bit about like, why did you even go into this career? And you use that in the about section, which used to be called the summary section of your LinkedIn profile, so that people are getting an idea of who you are as a person before they just know about who you are as a professional. And so LinkedIn provides the opportunity to add that extra information. As you know, especially in Vermont, you know, culture is really important. Fitting into the workplace, having maybe like making sure your volunteer work is included, because a lot of people are paying attention to how you are as a overall citizen of the community, and showcasing some of that. So all of that really matters on LinkedIn.
Hmm. How are employers using, for people who don't know how LinkedIn is used, you're an employer, you're offering, you have a job opening. What are you doing as an employer with LinkedIn?
Okay, that's a really great question. A lot of people don't realize that LinkedIn, the company, has a product that they sell to HR departments, right? And it's called Recruiter. It's simply called Recruiter. And so it's very expensive. And so a lot of really large companies and organizations probably have Recruiter. And it's like LinkedIn on steroids from a search standpoint. And they can really target who they want to look for to fill a position. And so it's really reliant upon keywords, for example. Like you need to know the keywords for your industry. And so the smaller organizations, like the smaller businesses, are probably just using their personal LinkedIn account to go and research somebody. But I can guarantee they're doing it. If they have your name, they're going to type your name into Google or LinkedIn. And the first thing that's going to show up, if you have a profile, is probably your LinkedIn profile. If they search for you through LinkedIn search, then you want to make sure that your LinkedIn profile is really robust and up to speed. And actually, go figure, current.
And current. ATN Morris, what about the old-fashioned meeting with people, informational meetings? Does that matter? When is it appropriate? When not?
It's actually incredibly appropriate, and it very much matters. In fact, in Vermont, I would say, I think nationally, it's something like 80% of jobs are found through personal connections. And in Vermont, I think colleagues and I have been talking about the numbers, and we think it's more like 90 to 95% of jobs are through personal connections. So when somebody comes to me and they're looking for a job, I very rarely encourage them to apply for positions that they see posted. Or if they do apply, I have them follow up or begin with a reaching out to the company, whether it's the HR department or the hiring manager or just other company employees, and having asking for informational interviews or informational meetings, and to let people know what their situation is. And these meetings aren't the same thing as an interview. You're not going in saying, I'm looking for a job. Tell me about working at your company and because I want a job at your company. What you're doing instead is you're saying, I'm in a position that I'm between jobs, or I'm looking for my next career move, and I am exploring my options. And something about your company resonates with me. I would love to learn more about that. Or I'd like to learn more about your division of the company or some aspect of it. So you're not connecting it to a job. You're just being curious. I think being curious is really the key to job search.
Especially
in Vermont. But really, I mean, I'm a certified B Corp, and so we tend to be kind of interested in holistically in people anyway. So having conversations and being inquisitive and exploring ideas with other people is something that's kind of inherent in the B Corp community. So it's really, most of the people I talk with are of that ilk.
So I'm curious, for both of you, there's a difference between the first-time job seeker in their 20s and the person who's in a career transition and perhaps older, 40s, 50s. What are the unique challenges of a mid-career transition, and what should people think about and how they approach it?
One of the unique challenges that I see with some of my clients is that they experience ageism. And they experience it in a way where you'd never be able to point your finger at it and say, aha, this is ageism. It's just like this, it's a feeling that you get over time with constantly having doors closed. And you think, this doesn't feel quite right. Like, there's something wrong with this. I have the experience. And so they start to become a little bit shell-shocked by it. And they start to think, I should take, you know, certain dates off my resume, or I shouldn't have the things that I did in the early 80s, you know, on my resume, or I shouldn't have any identifiers that, you know, that would identify me. I actually advise people not to fall into that trap, because for one thing, as soon as you walk into the interview, they're going to pretty much figure out. I mean, unless you look like a movie star, they're going to figure out, you know, pretty much, you know, generally how old you are. So it's a short term win, and doesn't gain you anything in the long term. So I say embrace it. And, you know, the name of my workshop is called, that I give, I've given it a half a dozen time, is called Celebrating You with an exclamation point. And I really believe that. I think everybody, regardless of their age, is to be celebrated, and they have a unique offering to the world. And it's just a matter of making that match.
Kate Payne, what would you add to the question of the challenge of mid-career transitions?
Well, I would echo certainly a lot of what ATN said, but from a LinkedIn standpoint, you have the opportunity to add things to your LinkedIn profile. For example, if you have done some stuff in your work where you have digital assets, like maybe you've published a blog, or maybe you've appeared in the company newsletter that was published online, or you've been interviewed on David Goodman's radio show or something like that, you can add rich media to your LinkedIn profile. So those are the kinds of things that you can't obviously have on a resume. So anything that links you to a PDF, a document, even a presentation like a PowerPoint if you wanted to, anything that links to a web page where you were featured or interviewed or you wrote something for, you can be adding all of those assets in, so that if there is kind of a way to have a career manager go, well, what sets this person apart? They've actually got proof there. And so obviously, the older you are, you might have some more digital assets or some things that you can show that show your actual person and show your work.
What are the most effective places for people to look for work these days? ATN?
I like making decisions through your gut. So I think what people should do is follow their gut. Think about what lights them up, what gets them excited. Do research on that. I've done it. I've advised people to do this a myriad of ways, including, read articles about your industry or about your people that have similar skills to you, and pay attention to how certain things make you feel. If you start getting excited about it, then follow, then chase down that rabbit hole. You can do it based on articles and find companies that way. You can do it based on people that you're excited about following, see who they're talking about. You could look at competitors of companies that you're interested in. I think it's all about research and paying attention to how you feel as you're doing the reading. So that's what I recommend.
Kate?
Yeah, can I add something? The other way to do that through LinkedIn is to use the LinkedIn messaging feature. So like if you are connected to somebody, or you know somebody who knows somebody that you'd like to know, reach out to them through LinkedIn by sending them a message through LinkedIn. Now you have to be connected to them to send a regular old message. If you're not connected to them, you can send what's called an InMail. And the nice thing about that is that it's just different from email. because everybody's email inbox is just full. And so if you send a request through LinkedIn, like, can you make an introduction for me to this person? I see we know this mutual person. Can you make an introduction to me? I'd like to maybe see if I could have an informational meeting with them, whether it's phone or in person with coffee. So LinkedIn can be a great tool to see who might be connected to you, because you don't have any idea until you really dig deeper. And then take advantage of some of those mutual connections and see if you can get an introduction to somebody or at a place of business that you may want to work.
So what about some of the websites, Indeed, Monster.com, the traditional online job listing plans?
So that is a great place to see what is currently listed. That does not mean that those jobs are real, though. So people need to be aware of that. There's something in big companies that's called pipelining, which is that they keep jobs open because they want there to be a deep bench of candidates for them to choose from as jobs become available. So just because a job is listed does not mean the job is open.
Hmm.
I just lost my train of thought.
Well, that's discouraging.
Yeah, so it's discouraging, but those larger companies that do that, those jobs become available over and over and over.
What about the state, like jobs and VT and stuff like that?
Yeah, there's definitely all sorts of different job boards that you can look at. I wouldn't necessarily assume that those jobs are. Those jobs are current and open, whether it's the state or Indeed or anything. Because the smaller companies, they might not do this thing that I'm calling pipelining, but they might not be able to be as on top of having jobs open and closed, all the time. And some of the applicant tracking systems that companies use automatically push jobs out into these into a lot of these areas, ZipRecruiter, Indeed, Monster, etc. And when the job gets closed, sometimes there could be a delay in having it closed to the organizations that they push the jobs out to.
I know that the two of you are speaking this weekend. Say something about where you're speaking.
Yes, actually, we're going to be speaking at Senator Leahy's 23rd Annual Women's Economic Opportunity Conference on Saturday at VTC. I think registration is closed, but I think you can maybe give a call. There's information on the website, which is at senate.leahy.gov.
Okay. And where can people find the two of you?
Well, we're both in Stowe. Actually, a lot of people don't know that ATN and I grew up together since we were 4 years old. We were actually in nursery school together.
Okay. And
lived our separate lives, and now we've sort of circled back to this because we seem to have the same thing. Anyway, you can reach me on linkedin.com/in/KatePaine, P-A-I-N-E, or at kate@standingoutonline.com.
Okay, or the website is standingoutonline.com. Yes. And ATN Morris.
My website is morrisrc.com, and I'm at atn@morrisrc.com.
Okay, well, I want to thank both of you for coming in and enlightening us about how you reboot your career, how you present yourself in the modern age. Thanks, both of you, for joining us on the Vermont Conversation.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Kate Paine is the founder and president of Standing Out Online, and ATN Morris is the founder and president of Morris Recruiting and Consulting. That does it for this week's Vermont Conversation. You can hear this and all shows at our podcast page, VermontConversation.com. I'm David Goodman. Tune in next Wednesday at 1 for another Vermont Conversation. Thanks so much for listening. The Vermont Conversation with David Goodman, this special feature from Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility, is underwritten in part by Vermont Student Assistance Corporation. VSAC helps students of all ages save, plan, and pay for college and career training with education and career planning services, need-based grants, scholarships, low-cost education loans, and Vermont's official 529 college savings plan. Norwich Solar Technologies, providing complete clean energy services to Vermont schools, towns, nonprofits, and businesses. Green Mountain Power, delivering clean, cost-effective, and highly reliable power to customers and offering cutting-edge products and services to reduce costs and carbon. The Alchemist Brewery of Waterbury and Stowe, proud B Corp using the power of business to support a clean environment and economic opportunity for all. UVM Medical Center, Burlington, Vermont, the heart and science of medicine. Let's Grow Kids, a statewide campaign about the need for more high-quality, affordable childcare in Vermont to better support our children, families, communities, and economy. Concept 2, designers and manufacturers of Concept 2 rowing oars, indoor rower, ski erg, and bike erg, and proud to support nonprofit groups such as the Green Mountain Club. And nearly 700 business members of Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility who believe that sustainable business practices value people, planet, and profit.